It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN, BT, Ronge, and Randy. I don't know about you guys, but I really appreciate how the Cardinals came back last night.
Yeah.
You they fell needed asleep, that win, didn't you?
They needed that win, big time.
Yeah, I fell asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
It was 4-2, I think, when they, or no, yeah, it was 4-2. And then they
after
came
the,
back.
After the Hosey home run, the second one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I kind of gave up. I said, they aren't coming back.
Well, they tied it.
I know, and that's what I'm
and
saying.
And ultimately, you ended up being correct, though.
Wait, what happened?
And then he got to get a little bit more sleep, so that's good for you.
Yeah, right. So here we are in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. So now the Cardinals aren't undefeated for the second half anymore.
Mm. No, honestly, I really was hoping to have that talking point for a tad bit longer, but I guess we'll just go back to inconsistency then. We'll just go to it was... That was one of the ball games, and honestly, it was the first one in a while, and certainly you could have gotten more out of Jack Flaherty, and we'll get into him in a second, but it was one of the first games in a while where you've watched it and be like, okay, you lost that one. Like, it does happen. Mm-hmm. The Cardinals have had so many games recently where you just look at it and you're scratching your head, just like, jeez, seriously? That's how you're going to lose again? This one, they got back to a little bit of what they were doing earlier in the season, and I'm just talking about power in general, the home runs. You got Jose Martinez with a couple of them. You had Munoz doing his thing. And by the way, he stood there and watched it for a minute, and I was kind of digging it in the moment because he hits a bomb to tie up the ball game. There's some emotion there. He gets the start because Carpenter goes on the IL with the back issues. So good for him taking advantage of that one with the big two-run homer to tie it. But then it slips away late. That happens, but at least it was a better ball game than we've seen recently.
Evidently, the Cardinals need to try the opener.
Not a bad idea.
It works.
It worked for the Mariners, and Jack Flaherty could have used an opener.
He gave up a run in his inning. The opener did.
Yeah, but then they came back.
Yeah, but if everybody did what he
it's
did,
it's a team game, Brad.
I'm just saying the opener didn't necessarily work here.
I'm not a big fan of the opener idea.
But if you have Carlos Martinez opening and giving you an inning last night, then Jack Flaherty gets past the fifth inning. Last night he started. He gives you 4 2/3.
He doesn't give you more than 5 innings.
No, but he gets past the fifth inning.
Okay.
Your team does.
That's the goal.
He doesn't get past the fifth inning. Your team does.
That's a detail.
Are you sure you're not the attorney at home?
Flaherty allowed 7 hits, 4 runs. He walked 4, and that was bothersome.
You know, I was just trying to, you know, ease into the game. You know, I feel like I'd come out and trying so hard and overthrowing a little bit, you know, early in the game. And it's just a matter of trying to feel things out early and, you know, find command and then, you know, let it go later.
I can tell you this, and this is from experience in my business. Trying hard doesn't make you any better.
Sometimes you got to do less.
Yeah.
You got to do less.
I think so, yeah. Just
Forgetting Sarah Marshall. You ever seen that one? You got to do less.
Yeah, right.
What do you mean do less? I'm just he's laying on the surfboard. I got to do more than that.
That's the key, isn't it, for him?
Finding that sweet spot.
Yeah, we talk about effort many days before we come into the Fast Lane, and never do we ever, well, I shouldn't say never, rarely do we project our effort to be greater than 50%.
No, I mean, look, you would think in a day like today where we have the next couple of days off, and by the way, you can hear a lot of action here Thursday and Friday on 101 ESPN as we relive the Blues Stanley Cup run.
Because playing the Blues all the did get back games. Into action.
They did, so you could do that Thursday and Friday. But you would think, heck, we got 2 days off, that it's go time. We're going to bring it. Not really. We're going to ease into it. We're going to have a little fun here. I do want to start with this with Jack Flaherty, and you could kind of hear it in his voice in that sound clip we just played. Jack was going through a lot in that ball game, and he was thinking about his friend that passed in Tyler Skaggs. He was given the opportunity to bow out of this start, and he said, no, I want to make this start. I want to be here. I want to do this. But there were a lot of emotions that went into that ball game, so I don't necessarily, I don't know if it's fair to completely pick apart a day with Jack, but we can't talk about the fact that look, he's had inconsistencies. His game before this one, he gave up a season-high 7 runs, and he finds himself he gets ahead. The maddening part with Jack is he'll get ahead, and then he just doesn't bury people. They end up back in the counts, and that's when some damage happens. And in that second inning, I want to say he threw 30, 36 pitches or something, or 32 pitches. I mean, it was a lot of pitches. Walked a couple of guys, walked a run in, and gave up some two-strike hits. His stuff is way too good for all of that. To have the two long innings, after three innings, he had thrown 79 pitches. Very hard to get deep into a ball game like that.
No, and that's really kind of been the issue with him, hasn't it? Just getting deeper into games. I mean, that's more walks per game than you typically see from him, I suppose. You know, last couple of starts prior to this, a walk each. He had walked a couple in the start on June 13th. He had walked three on June 8th. The start prior to that, he went five and didn't walk anybody. So it walks can be an issue. I would say that that's a little bit worse than average for him, what we saw last night. I will agree that that particular night, it's difficult to just assess the start for what it is, because of what was going on in his life. So I would absolutely give him a pass on that, and I think most people will. But the reality is the overall body of work from him has been kind of like that. He does go a little bit too deep into pitch counts too early in the game, and it causes him to come out a little bit earlier, and the Cardinals need better than that.
Yes, they do. Another thing that happened last night is that Tim Beckham hit the game-winning home run. And this would be unusual, aside from the fact that Tim Beckham was taken first overall in the 2008 MLB draft. Tim Beckham, Cardinal killer. Second pick in the draft, Pedro Alvarez, Cardinal killer. Third pick in the draft, Eric Hosmer, Cardinal killer. Fourth pick in the draft, Brian Mattis, left-handed pitcher, didn't make any difference. Fifth pick in the draft, Buster Posey, Cardinal killer. Yonder Alonso, Cardinal killer. Tim Beckham's brother, Gordon. It's unbelievable, the 2008 draft. Everybody plays well against the Cardinals, except for the guy the Cardinals took.
Well, hopefully those guys are out of the league soon.
Yeah, most of them are, but
be nice for the Cardinals.
Tim Beckham's pretty close.
Good piece of hitting right there by him. He got a fastball that was in. It was off the plate a little bit too elevated. He pulls the hands in and gets it. And another thing, and I realize that it's hard to look at the big picture when the Cardinals have been struggling, have been so inconsistent. But Giovanni Gallegos has been so good.
He's been great.
He's been so good for you. And he throws that pitch, ends up getting hit out of the ballpark. It's the first home run he had given up since May 24th against the Braves. And all I think with him is I'd like him back in the ball game again tonight in a situation, because he's been so good. Doesn't matter in a game that you end up losing, but I have lost no confidence in Giovanni Gallegos.
No, I'm losing confidence in the team overall, though. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but watching the way this has been going and knowing this has been going on now for a couple of months, I don't feel good about the product, and I don't feel good about the prospects of it getting better. I'm really curious to see what happens at the end of the month before the deadline.
Yeah, I am too, man. I really am. And I was telling Randy this in the office a little bit earlier, is you know that feeling, and I remember this feeling, especially in 05-06, where you just knew that you were going to go out and stomp somebody.
Yeah.
You just knew it as soon as you walked in, as soon as you got to the ballpark. Now, it's a little bit different when I'm watching the game like everybody else. But I don't have that feeling like something good is going to happen currently. Like it's like, oh, this is inevitable. Like, this is going to happen. Even after Munoz hit the home run to tie it, the feeling was almost more like, now what, though? What's next? It's a bad feeling to have. And all it takes is momentum to get that feeling to shift right back. We're all a hostage of the situation, I guess. But I've lost that feeling.
Now, your feeling was, oh, my God, I'm going to get out of work at 3 a.m. Yeah, extra innings.
We don't need extra innings.
That's what's going to happen here.
I mean, we just stayed there all night for a Cardinal win.
Cardinals are 3.5 games from being tied for first in the NL Central. They're 2 games from being tied for last in the NL Central.
Why would you do that? Let's stick with the first one.
I was just giving both ends of the spectrum here.
I don't want it in both ends, Randy.
They are
the
a half
end.
Game ahead of the Pirates, too.
So that's good. They're ahead of the Pirates.
Yeah, and the Reds. So they're in third. They're solidly locked in there.
This division is going to be interesting. This is going to be interesting. So as we were talking about yesterday, if there's going to be a team that looks like they're going to pull away, it looks like the Cubs are probably that team. I hope we're wrong.
They sure are playing like it. It's amazing.
I know it.
It's crazy.
See, think about that where they are. That I'm sure those people up there are beside themselves with how poorly they're playing. But then you look at the standings. They've been in first place forever.
And they're, only a game out. It's not bad. It's July, and the month to make things happen, the month to make things happen has arrived.
What?
I was hoping you
were going to read it. That doesn't make sense.
Sure it does. It's July, and the month to make things happen has arrived.
That's really good.
There's a lot of that's confusing.
based off their track record, what should we expect from the Cardinals? What is it, Ronge? Why are you laughing?
Because meat messed up.
Oh.
And
but
I
it's
love
spelled it. Correctly.
Well, yeah. I mean, the word itself is.
It's a real word.
It's
all
is,
that matters.
It is a real word, just a little misplaced.
It happens.
But my favorite thing about it is the face you make when we discover it.
You jerks.
Jerks. Next on 101 ESPN. That's ESPN's Tim Kirkjian with Bernie this morning here on 101 ESPN. He thinks the Cardinals will buy. He thinks that they will go for it. The history since the Cardinals acquired Matt Holliday a decade ago has not been one of buying big. Now, they have bought many times. They bought a lot of relievers, people like Jonathan Broxton and John Axford and guys like that, Edward Mujica. But they haven't been big buyers at the deadline for the most part. I guess the biggest move they made was the 2014 move before the deadline when they got Lackey from Boston in exchange for Craig and Joe Kelly.
You talk about a shakeup, by the way. That mm-hmm. was a major shakeup and one that was a great one for this ball club. You know, I don't know if I'm fully aligned with Tim Kirkjian believing that they're going to buy. Here's the one thing that I do believe. I feel very strongly about the fact that we won't see this. The Cardinals won't be sellers. That's like the only thing that I feel very confident in. Obviously, the next couple of weeks have a lot to determine if you believe that you can compete for a championship. Because here's the thing about being a buyer at the trade deadline is you're sacrificing future also. So while there is and things can change quickly, guys can heat up and you can get going. But while there are playoff spots available and the division is you're still very close. I wonder how much of my future I would be willing to sacrifice if I don't believe my team can win a championship. If Goldschmidt isn't Goldschmidt, if Ozuna takes forever to come back, if Matt Carpenter isn't himself, this team can't win a championship. They can't. So what am I going to give up to go acquire somebody that maybe squeaks me into the postseason?
Well, the issue they're going to run into is they're just not... Even if you wanted to tear this thing down and start over, what do they have to sell? Teams that
sell... You're not getting value out of what you have.
Right, because what you're trying to acquire when you're tearing down is young assets. And you're not going to trade your young assets to get other young assets. And you don't have veteran assets that right now are under control, that are good, that are going to get you back what you want in order to start a rebuild. They don't have anything like that. The only guy producing at the moment, Marcell Ozuna. Okay, Ozuna could get you maybe a little bit of something, but he's also going to be a free agent. So he's not going to get for you in return what you need in order to feel like you're rebuilding. So I don't even think they're in position to sell if they even wanted to do it.
Now, this is Bill DeWitt Jr. at the 2018 winter warm-up talking about renting players.
You know, do you give up a big part of your future to have a one-year run? And that's never been a goal that I would have or that our organization's had. We want to be competitive every year. And
the Cardinals did roll the dice on Paul Goldschmidt for essentially a one-year rental. Now, they were able to sign him, but they rolled the dice on that move. They rolled the dice when they traded for Matt Holliday a decade ago. So it's not unprecedented for the Cardinals to do it, but like he says, it's not something that you want to do if you're going to be giving up what you perceive is a big part of your future.
Yeah, what I believe with those rental-type deals are they're luxuries if you do them. That means that you've pretty much got everything else set up. Your ball club is where you want it, but there is a tipping point, and that tipping point could be a pitcher, could be a starter, could be a reliever. Maybe it's a bat, although I don't know exactly contractually where the Cardinals are going to fit that one in. But to me, that's a luxury to be able to do that as opposed to it doesn't seem like a sound business move to rent a player.
I think it's, I look at it a lot.
If you don't believe, sorry, Roger, if you can't win a championship.
Yeah,
you
know? I know exactly what you're saying. And I look at it the same way I look at the way you pay for a closer as a team. I don't like the idea of giving a closer a closer from somewhere else. So, you know, a free agent, giving him a ton of money and 5 years bringing him into the organization, unless I feel like that's the only thing I need and I am set everywhere else. In that case, why not do it? You might as well, because you think you're chasing a championship in that season, potentially the following season. So what you're doing is you're paying for that year. in that case, I'm more than willing to do it. But I just don't – they are not in that position right now. Maybe the New York Yankees would do something like that where they're already just flush with talent and they think, you know what? We're going to go even harder and acquire even more talent because we want to put ourselves over the top as best we can. But the Cardinals are not in that position.
And they'll have to find a way to get themselves. They've talked a lot about the playoffs this year, 2019. I don't know how they go about making themselves better for 2019 because, as you guys said, they don't have an awful lot to trade. And so what's going to have to happen is your players that have performed well in the past are going to have to perform to their career numbers in the second half of the season.
Yeah, so that's the thing. And with all the talk about selling, you know, or the idea of it, I for sure just don't see this ball club doing it. To me, standing pat at the deadline is saying, let's see what you guys got. Like, what can you do? Because we weren't put in a position as a front office to – you didn't force our hand to make us believe that you can go out and do this.
Right.
But we also are not going to sacrifice our future. So here's your chance. Go make a run. See what you can do. But it's – this is a point in the season. While a couple of games back, I mean, it's still within striking distance – I'm just very surprised with how this team was built and the excitement around it. And look, just the players on the roster that were at this point in talking about which direction that you might go at a trade deadline. Is it buy? Is it sell? Is it stand pat? Because the idea of it was coming into it, first of all, your ball club was supposed to be good enough. Like you were supposed to be in the thick of things. And the idea was probably at the trade deadline, oh, for sure you add, and maybe you add just like a reliever or something. That, like the cherry on top. They need the scoops of ice cream right now is what they need.
I thought they'd be a little bit better than this. I also thought the division, I mean, it's already proven to be tough just because everybody's so bunched up. And you mentioned it earlier, the amount of games between first place and last place in the Central is the smallest gap of all the divisions, and it's not even really close. You've got the first place team, the Brewers right now, and a game in front of the Cubs. 5.5 back are the Reds. So you've got five teams separated by 5.5 games. That is such that's a cluster, you know, and if you look at all the other divisions, it isn't even close to that. However, I thought the Cardinals would be better than they are. I wasn't confident they'd be a playoff team this year. I thought maybe they'd be a wild card team. I thought they could have done more during the offseason. I clamored for it. We talked about it a lot. I know not everybody agreed with me on it. But I wanted to see them do more during free agency because you're not going to have to sell your prospects in order to make it happen. Maybe that's why they're where they are right now. Maybe things would have been a whole lot better if Paul Goldschmidt was actually contributing and Matt Carpenter was contributing. But that was one of my fears, was worrying that you're needing everybody to play up to their capabilities. And you know that isn't always realistic in a baseball season. So the more talent you have overcomes whatever you've got in terms of players that aren't playing the way they should. So that's what I wanted the Cardinals to do. I wish they had done that, and I think things would be a whole lot different if they had.
That is, unfortunately, water under the bridge. Sad news today. One of our favorite players in sports to talk about over the years has been Jay Lode, the hefty lefty.
Pillsbury throw boy.
Yeah, Jared Lorenzo, yeah. Who got up to 500 pounds. And today his family released a statement that says, quote, "It is with heavy hearts that the family of Jared Lorenzen would like to extend our sincere thanks and appreciation for all of your support and prayers over the past 6 days. We are deeply saddened to announce the passing of Jared today, July 3rd, 2019. Again, we appreciate all of the warm wishes and prayers, but as a family, we would request your respect and privacy. We will offer arrangement information in the coming days." Yeah. So Jared Lorenzen, dead at the age of 38, got up to 500 pounds after an NFL quarterbacking career.
And as you can imagine, he had heart and kidney problems. Yeah. So, yeah, that's too bad.
It's a shame. Pillsbury throw boy. Hefty lefty.
So, you know, we're not doing Pillsbury throw boy today, right? We're going to give it some time, or are we going to?
No, that was one of his nicknames.
Are we going to go with it?
Okay. Going to go with it, right?
Yeah. I didn't know what the grace period was on something like this.
Well, it's still, we're not making fun of him at all. Seriously.
This tweet came across 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And said Hefty Lefty was at least on it for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt. It's the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.
Happy 4th, everyone.
Yeah.
It's coming up tomorrow.
It is. Yeah, be careful with those fireworks.
Bad things can happen.
We've seen them.
Yeah.
Internet pictures.
Oh, yeah. JPP.
Yeah.
Not so good.
Is he on the show today? Or
we
were talking
him.
About getting him.
Apparently he fumbled the phone.
Couldn't. Yeah, I thought that might happen.
Yeah, he was trying to text us back.
It just came back like meat would have done.
So do you just learn to text with your other hand?
You have to. That must be it.
Or do you get one of those old people big phones?
Oh, you could do that, too. Yeah.
Just, you know, the big buttons?
Yeah, and then you press it three times to get to your letter. Yeah.
The T9.
Right, exactly.
That took a while, didn't
it? Oh, my God, that was the worst.
Yeah. Hey, it's the day before the 4th of July, which would be the 3rd, and we've got all kinds of things coming your way, from 4th of July barbecue advice to the Cardinals on the West Coast. We've got it all in a game of, this is BT's favorite, it's always a great time to have a little game of what if. And the day before the 4th of July, when minimum effort is expended.
Randy, I have a question.
Yes.
Because what if it does provide us an opportunity to hit on a lot of things?
That's a great thing.
Yet you crap on it every time. So what is your what if beef?
Oh, no, I like what if. I really do. But I think it's fun.
It's a last minute throw together. We'll be honest about that.
Yeah.
But
no, I really don't have any problem.
Guys, right. Some of the best things that ever happen are last minute throws,
yeah, that's
together.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
There's not a lot happening right now, guys.
No. Yeah,
there's
what?
Not a lot.
All right, so let's go with what if. Big Sis, what do you got for us?
Or we could do an NBA free agency segment.
Let's go with what if.
Okay. Yeah.
So we've been talking about Paul Goldschmidt and Matt Carpenter trying to get back to their norm. What if Goldie does at some point this season, but Marp does not? Is it enough to kind of fix things for the Cardinals?
Yes. I think it is. If you have one guy in the order, I mean, you're going to need some other people, okay? But we're just talking specifically Matt Carpenter, Paul Goldschmidt. If Paul Goldschmidt is the guy that he was when he tore it up last year, if he's a guy that he has been throughout his career, I do believe that that is enough to lift this ball club offensively, especially due to the fact that I still believe, hopefully with a tweak here or there, but in the pitching staff, because you look at the overall numbers for June, the pitching staff was very good. The Cardinals don't have to score a ton more to win some ball games, but they do need to score a Goldschmidt more is what they need.
Goldschmidt that is a threat, a historical Paul Goldschmidt threat, changes the way everybody else in the lineup is pitched, and it does make everybody better, and it's kind of weird. It just makes everybody more courageous and hopefully more aggressive. I think that's one of the things this team needs to be, is more aggressive. You'd like to have that guy on base in the leadoff spot for him, but I do believe that everybody will get better, and that includes the leadoff spot if Goldie is better.
It fixes things if the other two teams we're worried about in the division don't have a takeoff.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be... I think it'd be naive to believe the Cardinals are going to improve by a couple of games, but those other two teams are not. That the Cubs are going to stay right where they are. Mm-hmm. I believe they're going to make a move because they know they've got a window, and their window's not going to last forever. I would think they want to take advantage of it. Maybe the Brewers do the same thing before the deadline. I don't really know. I've always been confused by their off seasons, but they might be willing to do the same. I think the assumption would be those two teams are also going to make some kind of push forward. If they don't, yeah, Paul Goldschmidt starts hitting. That changes things for the Cardinals.
So a lot of people will be going to July 4th barbecues tomorrow, whether you're going to somebody's house where you know them and a good buddy, you know they can't cook, or you get there and realize whoever is cooking has no idea what they're doing. Do you help out?
No. Unless you're a good buddy and he wants you to. Right. Mm-hmm. If you got a friend that he's like, hey, you mind taking over the grill? Hell yeah, I'd love to take over the grill. That's perfect. But I don't think that you just come in and just say, I'll do that.
Yeah.
That's not a great way
right.
to go.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
It's their house.
Yeah, it's there. They invited you over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you brought some sort of a beverage that you like to drink, so you're good to go.
And if there is, if you perceive an issue, you can offer your assistance. Hey, anything I can do to help you out? But no, you don't take over.
What if he's just like, nah, I got this. I'm like a grill master. And you see him peeling apart his frozen patties, throwing them on with no seasoning, and then just a bag of buns sitting there. To me, that's minimal effort barbecue. Not that it's bad all the time, but if you're doing your frozen patties, you throw on the grill, have somebody just pull a bun out of the bag, and then you smack some ketchup on it, you're not trying that hard.
Or,
that's not really a barbecue.
Or you could say, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not eating that.
Yeah, I don't know if you go with that.
Maybe, and then maybe he understands.
Here's an awkward one. What if you go to somebody's place, they're doing burgers, but the burgers are like severely undercooked. Like you just bite into it. I've had this before. You bite into it and you're just like, I don't know if I want to finish this bite. And do like the little spit into your napkin, and then we're good to go. I don't like a very undercooked burger either.
I think the play probably is, hey, I like mine a little more well done than this. Can you put that back on for a minute?
I guess it's not a restaurant. You can see him if he's going to spit in it. It's probably a good call. Yeah.
Or pull anything out of his...
Yeah, I generally err, by the way, on the side of it, and I know a lot of people don't, because it's always easier to throw something back on the grill than it is to take anything away from it. You can't do that. But when I have a lot of people over, I err on the side of more cooked than less
cooked. Yes, I agree. That's a good move.
And generally, most people aren't going to complain about it. My least thing is I don't want to get anybody sick.
Yeah, right.
So that's kind of where I'm at with that one.
Yeah.
But for the most part, you don't want to send something back. If you're eating
at a barbecue,
I've seen the movie Waiting. I know what happens.
Oh, if the bat wing happens.
Exactly. Well, that's a different kind of fun.
Just good, clean fun. I never worked in the service industry, and I probably should have.
Yeah.
I've got a really cool Weber thermometer that you download an app to your phone. Do you have one of those? It's like $10 at Home Depot.
I don't have that one. I got one where I look like I've got a 2004 cell phone that like straps onto your your belt buckle when it's ready.
Yeah.
It
beeps. Those are nice. Yeah. But this one, you just you get the exact temperature on your phone as it's rising. It's pretty cool.
That is cool. That's important when you're smoking stuff.
Oh yeah.
The right temperature is real.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say smoking stuff, I'm talking about meats.
Yeah.
When I say meats, I'm talking about pork shoulders, brisket. Brisket's an important one. Although we did hear from Mike Johnson yesterday, Sugar Fire, said if you're looking for a dummy thing to smoke, pork shoulder. Very forgiving. Mm-hmm.
One of the best or one of the biggest positives for the Cardinals right now is their middle infield. What if somebody comes calling, wants a trade, but DeJong or Wong are included?
Got to look at it. Got to look at the deal.
I believe the answer to the question is what's coming your way. Yeah. So, I mean, if it's a generational player that some team or just a very, very good player that maybe some random team is trying to unload due to salary, then you look at it. I would personally like to keep my middle infield together. I like them. I like them both. But I'm always okay with upgrading. So at this point, I'm listening to a lot of people.
There aren't a ton of contenders out there that need middle infielders. One of them, by the way, is the Red Sox. They could use a second baseman. But when you look at the teams that are in contention, I don't know that Wong and or DeJong is a dramatic upgrade for many contenders.
Usually you're strong up the middle, aren't you?
Mm-hmm. If you're going to win, yeah.
And finally, when you go to this 4th of July party, you're probably going to take some food, maybe some booze with you. What if, by the time you get ready to leave, some of your food, maybe all of it's still there, or nobody touched your booze? Do you take it or leave it?
You leave it.
You leave it, yeah. That's
a gift.
It is a gift for being invited to the party.
Unless they genuinely, don't want it. It's like, hey, we got so much stuff here. Please take this with you. Then you can take it home if you want to. But if you bring booze over, you're leaving the booze.
Do not take the marble rye with you. It's a gift.
Is that half a bread bowl? I'm taking that back.
Thanks, Big Sis.
Thank you.
And thank you very much for those great questions. We do appreciate your hard work. See, that wasn't minimal effort.
Well,
that was hard work.
We like it when the listener, is working, not necessarily us.
But those were Big Sis questions.
Were those all you?
No, we got a couple from the text line.
Oh, did we? Okay.
Nice.
Appreciate it. Hey, the U.S. Women's World Cup team is more popular than ever. We've got the details on that. Plus, more ahead of tonight's Cardinals-Mariners late start. That's all next in your Hot Topics of the Day on 101 ESPN. The Cardinals play the second of three tonight in Seattle against the Mariners. It's another 9-10 start. And, of course, you can see it on FS Midwest. Adam Wainwright pitching against former Cardinal Mike Leake, who, despite playing for a team that is a dozen games under 500, has a 500 record this year.
Yeah, he's doing all right for himself, isn't he? Yeah. The thing about Mike Leake that I'm sure, first of all, any team's going to love, but especially Seattle, who have had their struggles as far as pitching goes and just keeping guys around, and honestly, very little consistency on that roster over the years. But he's been incredibly durable. I mean, he's made so many starts. Since 2016 with St. Louis, he made 30 starts. 2017, he made 31, 26 of those here in St. Louis. After that, it's been 31 last year, on pace for another 31, 32 starts this year. He takes the ball. He takes it every fifth day, and he goes out there and competes. So that was a trade on Seattle's side. While his numbers like aren't overwhelming necessarily, he's been very serviceable for them.
And a salary dump for the Cardinals that kind of worked out for them, too.
Yeah, it did. It did. And real quick with Adam Wainwright, his last four starts have been very good. June was good to him, an ERA sub-3. Is Adam Wainwright, and I'm talking about positive ones, because I'm pretty sure that we all have a bunch of negative surprises. Is Adam Wainwright your guys' biggest surprise, positive surprise for the Cardinals this year? Because I think he's mine.
I would say so, yeah.
I mean, there are some other guys that kind of came out of nowhere. I believe Giovanni Gallegos kind of finds himself in that category for me because didn't know exactly what he was going to be when he got called up. But I didn't know what to expect from Waino, and he is over-delivered for me.
Yeah, I think his his June was great. I mean, he was, what, a under 3 for his ERA, like a 2.9 or a 2.7, somewhere in there.
2.96.
2.96. So that's really good. That's better than I would expect from him for an entire month. I guess he is a little bit better than I expected him to be overall, just because the body of work lately, the injury history for him, the fact that he is getting older, and when you get older, this happens to you naturally. I thought it would be a rougher go for him than it actually has been.
Me too.
By the way, the Cardinals come back after the All-Star break and take on the Pirates at the ballpark. $6 tickets available, courtesy of National Car Rental. Learn more at cardinals.com. If you always or ever complain about Cardinal tickets being too expensive, $6 tickets available for that Pirates series, and you can learn more at cardinals.com. And thanks to our friends at National Car Rental and Enterprise for providing the co-sponsorship of that event.
Yeah, no excuse there. Get out at the ballpark. Enjoy. And hopefully the Cardinals got a little momentum when that game's being played.
What if you're busy?
Well, you're not that busy.
What if you're working?
You're probably not going to be working. Chances are.
What if you have like one of those, is that a weekend series?
Then the rest of the family could go.
Yeah, but what if you really want to go? That's
not
fair to you.
Then take the day off work. It is what it is.
What if you get fired if you take off?
Then let everybody else go. I mean, whoever can go to this game, if you can make it happen for $6, go see a baseball game.
Yeah. I like baseball.
Yep. How about this story? This is another great one. We've all heard the story of the police officer that was murdered here in St. Louis over the course of the last week. And Michael Langsdorff's children were visited by Patrick Maroon today. Maroon spent time with Caleb Langsdorff and Olivia Langsdorff, joined by Chris Weidman, a defenseman with the Penguins who is from St. Louis. And they posed for photos with the kids and his parents, friends, and fiance Kim Hagg. So, and that's courtesy of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. What a class move by the great St. Louis and Patrick Maroon.
It really is. It's a really nice gesture, and it just provides a moment maybe for the family to kind of take your minds off things a little bit. I mean, they have a hurt right now that we don't wish upon anybody, and thinking about their family. But it's nice to be able to take away from that for a minute. It's great that Patrick Maroon and Chris Weidman were able to do that.
I'm not surprised he would do something like that. I think by all accounts, that's just the kind of personality he has.
Yeah, it's the kind of guy,
right?
He is.
Good dude.
Yep. Yeah. We do not have any reason for you to turn down your radio today because the U.S. Women's National Team doesn't play again until Sunday when they will vie for the Women's World Cup. And apparently they are up in arms in Great Britain over Alex Morgan feigning drinking tea after she scored a goal.
I thought it was fantastic.
It was funny. It was great.
Yes. I really enjoyed that one. Yeah, people have been mad at the U.S. women's team all the way from the beginning game where they put 13 on, was it Thailand?
Yeah.
About them celebrating all their goals and they're having fun. Look, they've been great. They've been great ambassadors for the game. They've built some excitement around it. They've done things that the men's team can't do, which is have the country rallied around and excited
or
about or
be
win.
In the World Cup.
Maybe that's more
that's
so
probably
the direction
what you're
that I'm
for.
Looking.
Yeah.
But don't get bitter, get better, I guess. I thought it was a great little pinky up
Just drinking some tea. Maybe it was more of a dedication than it was a troll job.
I think the first objection I saw from somebody in England was that it looked like she was... no, it wasn't. Well, I saw his, too. But it was that she was pretending to smoke weed.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That's what that was. Well, but hey,
did you see Chris Long's tweet about that? It was it was retweeting Pierce Morgan. And he said, I don't think I've ever seen anybody smoke a J with a pinky up.
Probably not. That. Well, I know Pierce Morgan got in on it. Because he had a few tweets about it,
yeah.
I think.
I believe Fox Sports also tweeted it, and it was a picture. It was an illustration of America like leaving England on boats, and they've got their flag, and it says, America defeated England again.
Oh,
that was pretty good.
Too soon, right?
I guess.
And I did see somebody else had sent out or retweeted a video of Bill Belichick talking about celebrating. And he was talking to, I believe, players, and he was saying, look, I like celebrating, and I'm just paraphrasing here, but he said, you should do it. You've put in all this work to get to where you are. You know, you work out, you practice, the hours and days and weeks and months that you put into your craft, and if you do something good on the field, you should celebrate that. You should be happy about what you're doing. And I think that translates for all sports. You know, these women, even though they scored 13 goals in that game against Thailand,
mm-hmm.
why should they let up? And why should they not celebrate that stuff? They worked really damn hard to get to where they are.
Agreed 100%.
That's exactly what they should do.
And the Patriots, I mean, this starts at the top. This starts with ownership. They're all about the big finish, you know? So, like, if you sell it, you
yes.
do something good, you should be able to celebrate it.
You
get
should
excited,
be able to celebrate, you know? A big finish.
Surprise.
Unless you're not supposed to be finishing in that particular environment.
Oh, I was just talking about celebrations.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nothing else.
I gotcha.
There you go.
Oh, and Randy, yes. You might want to revisit the Jared Lorenzen news.
Yeah. We mentioned this earlier. The hefty lefty former Giants and University of Kentucky quarterback Jared Lorenzen, who was quite large, reached 500 pounds and struggled with weight throughout his life, passed away today at the age of 38.
You, if for some reason, if you've never heard of Jared Lorenzen, first of all, it was a 30 for 30 done on him, correct?
Yeah.
Which is awesome. Go find that. And just go watch YouTube videos of Jared Lorenzen. And if you haven't seen him, I mean, this was a large individual,
mm-hmm.
and he could sling it. Like, good athlete, struggle with weight, end up, I would have to assume, being the issue with the heart and kidney issues that he had that end up being his undoing. But pretty sad day, obviously. But do yourself a favor. Go back and watch some videos of what Jared Lorenzen was.
He was, playing in arena ball, right?
Yep.
And he covered
a
lot of ground.
Hanging out,
yeah, he covered
out
a lot
bottom.
Of field.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
Yep. Last thing, did you guys see that they had overhead helicopters following LeBron or Kawhi's vehicle in Toronto?
Yes.
As he was going to go and visit with the Raptors today?
When I first saw it, I was like, did he do an OJ? What happened? But no, they're just following around to see where he's at, what he's doing. They're bought in. They want to keep their guy.
Look, they can't.
I think they should.
If they can't win a cup up there, they can at least have Kawhi Leonard and win NBA championships.
That is crazy, though.
I think it's fair.
Everything nowadays is, there's so much technology. Everything is out there. They're rallied around. So this was before the footage of them, you know, in the helicopter looking at his vehicle, driving around wherever he was. But he was believed to be in a meeting with the president over there, the owner of the Raptors, at a hotel. It was a random hotel.
Yeah.
Hundreds of people standing outside.
Awesome. Yep.
It's crazy.
I'm glad how excited they are for
it. Me too.
You know?
Those are your hot topics of the day on 101 ESPN.
And regarding that, Jalen Rose says that he is 99% sure he will sign a 2-year deal with the Raptors.
Wow, 99% is 99. A pretty high percentage.
Well, you know what that means?
What?
There's a 1% chance it doesn't happen, and then he could say, well, I didn't say it was 100.
Hey, heading out.
Yeah, and there was one report earlier today that LeBron had told him that in 2 years the Lakers could be his team because wherever LeBron's son Bronny goes is where LeBron wants to play.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to that.
That'd be pretty
whatever
fun,
that
wouldn't
is,
it?
Yeah.
Coming up next, it's our Friday today, and Jason is coming back for a chance for the 4 o'clock fight Hall of Fame. That's next on 101 ESPN.